Woo. All right, I'm not doing it, I promise. I can't follow that up. Come on. Great job, Matt. You would have never... Guys, seriously. Come on. You would have never thought that Matt had COVID just 2 or 3 weeks ago. So that's pretty good. So we're going to continue our story tonight. I got to share with the children, and we get to now look into the scriptures and see for ourselves what this story is all about. So if you have your Bibles, you can take them out and turn to Luke chapter 2. This morning, I woke up kind of early. I was like, man, I don't know what the Lord has in store for tonight. I have an idea because it's Christmas. Hello, you got a topic, right? And this was kind of a last-minute thing. I kind of got it from default. We want to continue to pray for Steve and his family who have been hit by COVID. I'm not sure of all the details, but just pray for them. But I was thinking this morning, I was like, man, okay, I know where I'm going, right? But God, what do you want me to teach? And it's like, hey, number one, teach the scripture, nothing else. Above all else, teach scripture. So I was like, okay, I think I got that, right? But it led me to this down this rabbit hole of extracurricular study of Levitical shepherds and what the troughs were made out of. Does anybody know what the troughs were made out of? Trivia. Anybody? You would say wood, right? What? It's made out of stone. Exactly right. It's made out of stone. Nobody would have thought that, right? Because how many wise men were there? We don't know. There are three gifts. Very good. So I love that type of stuff and looking into the historical context of where the Christmas story comes from. You know, because we tend to look over things when we've heard the story many times, right? I know for me, I've been on the earth for 29 years. I've heard the Christmas story. Hello? I promise you, I've heard the Christmas story all 29 of those, and probably a little before that, because my mom was going to tell me the Christmas story, right? The devil is working. You grab a handheld? All right. Hey, you guys, hold on just a second. All right, check, check. There we go. Man, I sound a little better on this mic. Like I said, my mom taught me the Christmas story every single year. And if you guys have not started the tradition of reading the Christmas story, I encourage you to do so because it's so important to know why we celebrate Christmas. And this year has been filled with all kinds of ups and downs, and nothing in this world, however, can ever stop us from having hope in Christ as our Savior. Nothing can take that away. Not a pandemic, not a mask, neither death nor sickness can ever separate us from the love of Christ. And earlier tonight, like I said, we got to see these bright, shining faces come down and hear the Christmas story. And not only did we all get to see the majesty of Jesus as our King through his birth, but we can also recognize that his kingdom is alive and it is a well today. You know, a lot could change our entire viewpoint of a certain passage if we just listen. Because scripture is never changing. It never changes. We change all the time. And sometimes we like to listen, sometimes we don't. More so, we don't like to listen. Am I the only one in this room? Can I get an amen? That's right. So let's look at some context here of this story. Let's look, hold on just a second. Let's read through it first. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is well pleased. Let's pray together. God, we are so grateful for this message. God, that you get to lead us through this. So I pray for the Holy Spirit to lead us through the scriptures. I wouldn't get in the way of that. And God, that you would show us something. So let me pray. Amen. So let's look at some context real quick. All right, I'm going to take y'all down the same rabbit hole I went on at 5 o'clock this morning before I made the most amazing breakfast sandwich you guys have ever seen. Okay? So there are main characters in this passage, right? The angels, the shepherds, Mary and Joseph. We got it. Nativity 101, right? My daughter would say there's a bad king because she gets the Thanksgiving story mixed up with the Christmas story. It's weird. But there are these people in this story. The wise men aren't there yet, okay? So most of your nativity scenes, hate to tell you, they came on later, okay? But think of all the jobs. I want to focus on one group, the shepherds. Think of all the jobs a shepherd would have. Okay, so shepherds, they controlled the wealth of most of the community. Most of the livestock was viewed as property, okay, that was either sold as a business or sometimes it was used for religious reasons, okay? So their job, being as difficult as it was, defending the sheep from animals, thieves, bad weather, but to put it on top of the list, they had to provide perfect lambs. Imagine being a shepherd with a lot of sheep, and they had to provide perfect lambs to these religious leaders. Now let's look at how they did that. You see, the Jewish teachers in Israel, they put it on the shepherds to provide spotless lambs. Instead of, like we said before, normal wooden troughs that we see in every nativity set and picture, the troughs that were often used, and this can be backed up by ancient Near Eastern archaeology, were actually made of stone. But why then would they leave this out of the story? Well, because it was culturally irrelevant. It'd be like, hey, we have maroon chairs at Simpsonville Baptist Church. That wouldn't make sense in the story. It was just well known that the troughs were made out of stone. So let's look at what verse 11 and 12 says. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. So what did the angels actually say? This will be a sign for you. What? That a baby is going to be wrapped in swaddling clothes? You got to give me a little bit more than that, right? Because every baby that is born, what do you automatically do? Wrap it up. Burrito, right? It was a race between Taylor and I of who could do it the fastest when Ollie was a baby. It's like, no, this is the best swaddle. I can show you. Like, I know how to do this. It was a competition. But why? Why would they wrap them in to protect them, right? To keep them safe, to keep them warm, keep them comforted. And that's the first thing that is done for a baby. Now let's think back to our context of the shepherds. The shepherds were required by the religious leaders to take care of their perfect, spotless lambs. If you do any study on these Levitical shepherds, this was their practice. They were to take the lambs and wrap them in clothes as soon as they were born. It was customary, if they had shelter, they had any type of feeding trough, that they would place the lambs in stones, in the stone troughs, to further protect them from the elements. The rest of the herd and any threat that there may be. Is this starting to sound familiar? Verses 13 and 14. And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. So after the angel had delivered this message to the shepherds, all of a sudden a multitude of heavenly beings showed up and started singing. They started singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Let's look at the emphasis on the exclamation point here. We know that punctuation is a little different in the original language, but there's emphasized words in the Greek that tells us that this multitude of angels was very loud and very proud of this moment. Why? You see, Jesus is prophesied over and over throughout the entire Old Testament. Genesis 22, the Lamb of God is promised. Exodus 12, the institution of the Passover, which included what? A lamb? A spotless lamb? In Micah chapter 5, we even see Bethlehem mentioned as the place that he would be born. Over 700 years before the birth of Christ. And you would think that God would make a reservation for his family, right? In Bethlehem. Or was he planning something greater? Because the reason is it is significant is because Jesus, just like the spotless lamb, would be wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger as the perfect sacrifice for our sin. This is why we rejoice. This is why we sing. This is why we are given hope among all things, is because we know the one who is both lamb and shepherd for us. Amen? The perfect spotless lamb that was slain for our transgressions, who is Jesus. So not only did Mary lay her son in what was likely a stone trough, but later would lay him in a stone grave. Maybe you're here tonight, and I want you to think about this for just a second. Maybe you're here tonight, and God has you here for a reason. It's not to hear singing. It's not to hear some guy talk. God makes absolutely no mistakes. Maybe you're listening to this right now. God makes no mistakes. If he can cause an entire empire to do his will through a national census to take Mary and Joseph to the right place for Jesus to be born, then he probably has a hand in where you're sitting right now. He probably has a hand in this message you are hearing. See, the Christmas story does not stop at Jesus' birth, but it continues as Jesus lives a perfect and sinless life for us, revealing that he is the Son of God, and being poured out on a cross for our sin, he was then resurrected from the grave to defeat sin and death forever. And one day Jesus will return. And all of us, everyone sitting in this room, everyone listening, you are a part of the story. Now you have a choice of what side of the story you are on. Will you choose life in Christ, or will you choose separation from a holy God forever? No one wants to see that, but that is a real reality of the gospel. You can't leave it out. But the thing that we get to celebrate as believers, if you're here today, we get to celebrate things in Scripture that amaze us. I called my mom at 5:30 this morning and told her this stuff that I was reading. She was like, "I've never heard it put that way. That makes total sense." And then she fact-checked me. And I called her that afternoon. I said, "Hey, did you look up any of the stuff that I was talking about?" And she said, "Yeah. I don't like saying this, but you're right." She said, "There are cases where this could happen, right?" So all that to say, we hope you guys are having a Merry Christmas, but most of all that you're celebrating for the right reason. That you get to join in with the multitude of angels and get to say glory to God in the highest, because Jesus is King, he is still King, and he's going to remain King. Amen. Let's pray together. God, we're so grateful for your word, how it speaks to us. God, this season, that you teach us things, even in moments where, man, I've heard this story so many times. God, we know that you are perfect in your ways. And I pray for anyone that is here tonight. I pray for anyone that is listening online, that God, you would reveal the sin in their hearts to them. Father, they would repent of that sin and trust in your Son, Jesus. That's all the hope that we can ever gain. So, Father, I pray as we sing, as we join together and sing praises to you just like that multitude of angels. But God, we continue to go and love people and go and tell, just like the shepherds were commanded, go and tell. Father, we love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.